Futures Radio Show, sponsored by CME Group, the world's leading and most diverse futures and options exchange. CME Group's markets help individuals and businesses around the world effectively manage risk. For access to free educational tools and resources for the active individual trader, please visit activetrader.cmegroup.com.
Every day, traders and investors dive in to tackle the ever-changing markets to find opportunity. Futures Radio Show is your number one source for answers to the questions that all market participants want to ask. Veteran futures trader Anthony Crudele sits down with the most influential leaders and top traders in the industry. Now, here's your host, Anthony Crudele.
Hey everybody, thanks for tuning in for this episode with Julie Lerner. Remember, new shows are posted on Mondays and Thursdays. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes and YouTube. If you're enjoying the show, please leave a review on iTunes. Before I play today's interview for you, I want to give a shout out to the great sponsors of Futures Radio Show. CME Group, Trading Technologies, RJO Futures, and Top Step Trader. To learn more about these sponsors and the important things they are doing for futures traders, be sure to click on their logos on our website. Today, I spoke with the CEO and founder of PanXchange, Julie Lerner. Julie and I talked about PanXchange adding industrial hemp to their trading platform. We discussed the uses for industrial hemp, how big the hemp market has become, and the amount of demand that Julie is seeing for trading industrial hemp on their platform. We chatted about the growth in CBDs, and how those that want to make CBDs but don't have the ability to grow industrial hemp can now go to PanXchange to buy the raw materials. Last but not least, Julie and I talked about blockchain for industrial hemp and other physical commodities. So without further ado, let me take you right to the interview with Julie. Julie, welcome back to the show.
Thanks so much, Anthony. I'm pretty excited because as of today, I get to say that I'm a recurring guest on your show.
It's great to have you back. So industrial hemp was legalized in December of 2018, and soon you will be launching industrial hemp on your trading platform. Talk to us about the details of this contract.
So it's been a whirlwind since the year started. So first of all, industrial hemp is any part of the plant, and of course, less than 0.3% THC. And one other thing to note about what we do in the underlying market that's different than derivatives is that we cover the whole spectrum of the commodity in the sense that you said contract for hemp. Well, in our world, it's biomass, it's crude oil, isolates and distillates, and then that's just what we're focused on today. We'll get into the rest of it in a little bit. So what we started doing out of the gate by the end of January, we started issuing the industry's first index prices in biomass and crude, and I'm incredibly proud of the team. We are now the leading price provider for this market. And across the country. And it's really important here because the hemp market presents a massive opportunity for investors and traders and growers and processors, and yet no one really knew the price of it. And so we're just thrilled to have our prices show up in investor decks and in conferences around the country. People are using it to make investment decisions, go, no go, buy or build decisions. We take our role in this very seriously, and we're proud that people are using it. So the benchmark came first in this market, and yes, the trading market comes later, and we are focused on biomass and crude and these other two refined products for CBD.
That was going to be my next question. Is this industrial hemp market, what are the primary use cases? And one of those questions was going to be, is it for CBDs?
Yes, initially, and that's where the focus is, everyone's focus is now, is for CBD products. Apparently, it works for just about anything you need it to work for. So there's tinctures and there's pills and there's topicals and then all kinds of the silliness, I think, will go away, like the Carl Jr.'s burger. That's, no one needs that, but it's a little gross in my opinion. But so, you know, hemp is a, no pun intended, it's a weed, and it's one of the most fascinating weeds and useful weeds out there. So later on, I think we'll start looking at things like hemp fiber, and that can be used for clothing. It can be used for hempcrete, like concrete. So that's a whole different area that we're going to explore. And I do need to give a shout out to my team on this part, because the beauty of what we're doing here is the adaptability, the speed with which we can adapt and grow with these markets. What do we need first? Okay, biomass, crude, isolates, distillates. How do we need to spec the trading platform for that? And then looking at what's next and getting our finger on the pulse of what's next and being prepared for that. So I feel like we're really building our niche in that, and that ability to do that.
So the primary product that this industrial hemp is used for is CBDs.
For now, yes.
For now. And you mentioned a couple of other things. Where is a majority of the industrial hemp grown in this country?
Well, it's there's a lot of initiatives across the country. Of course, the biggest pockets are going to be where tobacco used to be. So, and also, so here in Colorado, Kentucky, and Oregon, and California.
So they took what was the tobacco farms, and now a lot of those are becoming industrial hemp farms.
Yes, that part of the, now that it's legal, the tobacco, let me rephrase that. It's big today in Colorado, California, and Kentucky, and those are where our first price points are. But I do believe that there'll be huge expansion in all of tobacco country.
Interesting. So I'm curious, how big is the hemp market right now?
I think it's honestly hard to put an accurate number on it because of the various iterations of it. I don't think anyone really knows how much investment is going into this, how much is actually being grown. I can give you one data point, though, that's quite telling. If we were to look at biomass alone and go with the general belief that 200,000 acres will be planted this year in the U.S., that market is worth $4
billion. So the reason I asked that was because obviously, I'm seeing it everywhere I go now. It's amazing. You know, I go in for coffee just yesterday, and right there in front of me was, hey, do you want CBD oil in your coffee? And you know, I've just been seeing it more and more and more. Mm-hmm. For a while, I saw it in a lot of, I had an old dog, and people had reached out to me on social media, and even my vet had mentioned CBD oil. And that's really how I started reading more and more about it. And now I'm obviously seeing it used in you know, pretty much, like you said, I didn't even know it was put in the, what was you say, the Carl's Jr. burger? Are they actually putting it in?
I did hear that, yes.
It's like,
but to your point, you know, it's showing up in beer, it's showing up in coffee.
Yeah.
My personal theory, I mean, to your point about your dog, we all have seen our unscientific observations. It clearly works with pets, with muscles, with joint pain, with anxiety, with sleep disorders, with digestive issues. It clearly works. My personal theory is that we're going to go to a more sane view where those that believe in it will take the tinctures and the pills so that they can actually regulate how much CBD they get. The rest of it is really novelty.
Yeah. So what I was wondering was, how big is it? Is it ready to be traded? I mean, because I don't think I've seen anyone else listing it as a contract yet besides you. So what makes you believe there will be enough liquidity for it to be on your platform?
I've never seen a greater need for our platform. We're starting to invite some of the top tier players onto the platform this week. Our grand opening for trading is not going to be till later this summer, but there is such a huge need to match up with buyers and sellers. So again, what we do is the price transparency, and the instant market access. So the third pillar of what we do here is market structure. So for example, one of the biggest issues we've had to deal with that we've never dealt with in any other market is, how do you vet clients? How do you pan exchange decide if someone's worthy of being on this platform and potentially credit worthy? Because it's not like you can go get a credit history on these guys. So we had to figure out an established procedure how to vet people. And the way that we can build liquidity, again, is vetting out the top tier players, the serious players in this market, helping others establish whether they're credit worthy or not. And of course, being able to customize our platform. Don't forget, the beauty of what we do is that we recognize that, unlike derivatives, the word commodity is a misnomer, right? In any market we do. And so in this market, so many aspects need to be negotiated. First of all, are you negotiating biomass or crude oil or isolates or distillates? And then you get into what is the quality of that, and what is the delivery mechanism? Is it at my farm, or do you want me to deliver it to you? What are the payment terms? Every single piece of that is negotiable, and it's not a bulletin board. So that's how we bring liquidity, is understanding these series of one-offs and how we not only replace the old school broker, but go where that broker can't go with regard to protecting your book, vetting your clients, and really solving these points of pain.
You already mentioned that you are different from derivatives, from futures, and you've explained a little bit how the process works, but could you just dig a little bit deeper for us and tell us how you match a buyer and a seller and how that even looks on your platform?
Sure. So first thing that we have, as I mentioned, was this, we have this vetting process of where we believe that someone is credit worthy, but it's really, the onus is on the buyers and sellers to decide if people are credit worthy and will they trade with them. So that's step one. That's the only place you see our members by name. And then you see, then you decide whether they're credit worthy or not. And are they credit worthy, but only payment up front, or only for, you know, 10 days after bill of lading or so forth. And then you go onto the site and they go in and establish who they deem credit worthy. It needs to be fully bilateral. So of course, others need to come in and say, yes, you, Anthony, you're credit worthy to us too. So let's say you wanted to go, you would put an order in to buy some biomass, and you would decide, you'd simply put the quality that you want, the delivery window that you want, the credit terms that you want or payment terms that you want, et cetera, et cetera. And you'd post that on the screen. And of course, there's a validity to it. And you throw it out to the membership. And so everyone, what's interesting in this cash market, everyone will see that price, or at least a piece of it. But again, your identity is protected. So they know there's buying interest out there. That's fundamental news that we provide where no one else can do that. So any other member who is enabled with you can say, that's a decent bid. So I don't really like that shipment window. The quality's fine. So I'm going to change the shipment position. And then I'm going to also, of course, see if we'll take a lower price. So because both of us have agreed each other's credit worthy, I can go in and say, and to your bid and say, okay, can you move the shipment window back by 2 weeks? And, you know, will you take a lower price for this? And so it's an anonymous negotiation. Either that will match because of your hidden price parameters on that, or you come back and say, yes, I can change my shipment window and I agree on that price, or you negotiate again on price. Or a third party that is enabled with you and the other counterpart can easily come in and pick off either side of that. So it is first come, first serve, which is another way that we build liquidity. And when the trade matches, only you and the counterpart know each other by name. We don't announce that to everybody.
It's very specific.
Yes.
And a question I have is, are you the clearing firm, the exchange, the platform? Are you all of those things? How does that all work behind the scenes?
So the way we have the counterparty and credit risk management set up is that there is no need for clearing. And that just allows us to be nimble. It allows us to move quickly and offer the product at a cost-efficient price point. And it allows us to not be regulated as well. And that works, by the way, the system that we have has worked. And I've shown this to crude oil traders. I've shown it to rubber traders in Asia. This counterparty system works without clearing. PanExchange, we're the vehicle to bring buyer and seller together. And yes, to your point, it is specific. Physicals are almost always a series of one-offs. You'll never see a depth of field for the exact same product, delivery, quality, payment, etc.
Hey everyone, I hope you're enjoying the show so far, but I want to pause and thank one of our sponsors, Trading Technologies. I started using TT in the year 2000, and I love it. It is by far the best trading platform I have ever used, and I've tried a lot of them. With TT, you can trade the global markets from virtually anywhere in the world. They are the world's fastest commercially available futures trading platform. I highly suggest you go try out TT, especially because you can try it for free. Just go to tryttnow.com and set up your account. Could you tell us what goes into you making this product live on the platform?
So an interesting set of challenges in this market like no other, because of the lack of infrastructure. And, you know, this 4 months ago, some of these people were not growing legally. So there's no track record in this industry. So we need to bring some market structure to it. As I had mentioned, we have a vetting process now for new users. Customizing the platform itself is a bit of an art and a science. And first, it's almost a negotiation of what do you really need and can't live without on customization, and what can you get by with? Because my goal here is to commoditize this as much as possible. The more you want to customize this and say, oh, well, can it do this or can it do that? Like, you don't need it to do that. One thing that we have to do on this platform that we've never done on any other is that no buyer will accept an order unless there's a certificate of authenticity. And in this market, that's what we know in other markets is a lab test. So the quality specifications, they have to see that report. So that's one customization we're adding here that we haven't added to any other markets. And then apart from that, we simply go through the customization of what are the quality fields, what are the locations we need to fill in, what are the typical payment terms, and that actually is the easier part.
I want to give you an example. So if I'm somebody out there who owns a business and I want to get into making CBDs,
yes,
I would come to your platform and I would get credit approval, and then I would say, here's the quality and X amount and everything that I would want to buy, and I would be able to put a bid on your platform. So this would fit that need of that person who wants to get into space but is not going to have the growing ability, but they want to go and buy it at the market.
Right. Well, yes. And in this particular case, you would actually be buying semi-processed, right? The raw material for your CBD products. So you'd come to us, you would pass our vetting process, and then you would get on our platform, and maybe for some products, you can take the crude oil and turn it into CBD products. For others, like maybe a tincture, you would need to buy a further refined product like isolates or distillates. So consider it the raw material.
Yeah.
So it's like wheat for a flour miller, right?
Exactly. That's exactly what I was thinking. How much demand have you had for this?
Off the charts. So for it's a US, usually we do, we've been looking at niche markets, where there are maybe 50 to 100 players tops, but in the this is all of the United States, and for now at least. We're talking about potentially 2,500 physical players. That's true physical players, no brokers. You need to be able to either, you know, show up with a truck or process a truck that's showing up at your door. That's how we define our addressable market there. So that's a lot bigger than even in world grains. You would typically find, you know, your big five and then a second tier of 20 or 50 players there. So about 2,500 for these semi-refined products, I would say, in hemp.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's definitely.
And growing, I should say, and growing.
Last time you and I talked, you had some strong feelings about blockchain and your doubts for physical commodities. Has that changed with industrial hemp?
No. I actually think that hemp has so much to work on that blockchain is just a complete distraction. Right now, they're worried about just really getting reliable trading partners that show up when they say they're going to show up and with the product that they have negotiated. Blockchain can't solve that. One of the biggest problems there is you can, like the example I've always done is say, you know, look at my bushel of wheat. Can I, you know, have my certificate that this is non-GMO and no children were harmed in the making of this wheat? And can I have, give me the certificate and put it on the blockchain? And then while you're not looking, you can do a quick swap out for something of lesser quality. Blockchain can't fix that problem. What I am doing, though, there has been a development on blockchain, or not blockchain specific, but I touched on last time we talked that one of my frustrations is, look, you know, people are talking about putting the entire agricultural supply chain on blockchain, and that just doesn't make sense. We're, Anthony, every boat of wheat you shove, your bill of lading, your certificate of origin, your weights and tests, all these other documents into a manila envelope and FedEx that to your counterpart. There's no way you can miraculously just put that on the blockchain. What you need to do here is get everybody in the room. This has to be industry-wide solution. It can't be one behemoth trying to cram a solution down everyone's throats. And I don't know if you know this, but the, you know, the physical trade doesn't have a good history of working together, and they don't trust each other. And they need a neutral and global third party to get everybody in the room and start talking about how we digitize this. Let's pick one document, one issue, one aspect. Let's start there and work towards blockchain and the whole digitization of the post-trade process. So that conversation has gotten legs. In fact, I'm going over to Switzerland in a couple of weeks and talking to several trade houses there. And I'm pretty sure I'm going to have an announcement for you later in the summer on an association to continue that work.
Before I let you go, you're always working on cool, exciting stuff, obviously, is bringing this industrial hemp to your platform. Is there anything else you want to talk to us about that you're working on?
Well, I think one of the coolest things is that we've been focused on the distribution of our market data in Fracsand. And that is exciting because it further proves our business model of how valuable the data is coming out of these cash markets. So around the time of FIA Boca, we announced a deal with CQG to more efficiently bring this Fracsand data to the derivative trading community. And we're finalizing a deal with an alternative data aggregator to make it available to the quant community. The interesting thing about our Fracsand data, this is a 125 million ton market, and it is roughly 25% of the cost of extracting oil and gas in the US. So the number really matters, and we're excited about that. Apart from that, I'm just building the foundation here for more rapid commercialization across many commodities and geographies. We just announced that Andy Bose has joined our advisory board. He was formerly with S&P Platts and is integral to our growth on the market data side. Another advisory board member we have is Chris Malo of CBOT and Sun Trading and Cargill Investor Services. He's been a huge, quite frankly, he's been a sanity saver, and we haven't announced that. So we're looking to get bodies in the door and just grow this company as fast as we can.
Awesome to hear, Julie. Now, we're recording here on May 14th. I don't know exactly when this is going to air, but can you give us a timeline for when industrial hemp will be on the platform for people to go ahead and start trading these products?
I would say if there are players out there today that are already in the business, that are already in production, not building the facility, but actually almost ready to do that, please contact us now. We are onboarding some of the top tier players now, but the grand opening, if you will, is going to be around July, August, we think.
Where can people find you on social media, and give us a website to check out?
Okay, so my Twitter is at Julie Lerner. And of course, there's at Pan Exchange on Twitter. And the website is just panexchange.com, PANXCHANGE.
Definitely go and check it out, everybody. Julie, thank you so much for coming back on Futures Radio Show.
Thank you, Anthony. Appreciate it.
Thank you for listening to Futures Radio Show. If you have any questions or comments for myself or my guests, please visit futuresradioshow.com and sign up to be a premium member for free. If you enjoyed the show, don't forget to leave us a review on iTunes.